walking side by side over here. So hard to climb. Traveling down this lonesome road. Nobody but me. Just the two of us walking side by side over hills that's so hard to climb. Traveling down this lonesome road. Nobody but me, me and my Lord. Oh, 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 nobody but me and my Lord.
Hallelujah. We'll probably sing a little bit more here in a few minutes, but if you're ready, I'm ready. And I'm not trying to hurry anything because I need to be blessed, right, Brother Tim? So an early sermon doesn't mean early dismissal. Hallelujah. Not that we're thinking that way anyway. If we are, we're too busy. Isn't that right? If you have your Bibles today, I'd like to draw your attention to the Word of God in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, the great Word of God. The Word of God can save us. Amen. Amen. Like one man said, singing will make you feel good, but preaching will save you. And we need all of it. Yeah. Praise God. Isn't that right? God's people are a happy people, and a happy people are a noisy people. Praise God. And we like to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. John chapter 3. So much to read. I could read the whole thing, but for the sake of time and you standing, I'll just begin at verse 14 here in John chapter 3. How many agree that what we're about to read is the Word of God? Yes. Amen. It's the Word of God. It's like we said the other night. It's pieces of a puzzle that makes one picture, and it is what it is. Even if I don't understand it, it still is what it is. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We know what that name is, yes? Amen. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. You may be seated. It's always good to read more than one verse and understand that in this particular case, Jesus is talking to a rabbi who came to him, a very important individual, a member of the Sanhedrin Council, being a ruler of the Jews, but somebody that wanted to talk to him. And he knew, Nicodemus knew, he did not represent all of the Pharisees, but he represented himself for sure. He wanted to know. Because when your heart is open, when you're sincere, even if you don't understand, even if you're not converted, but when your heart is open, when your heart is wanting to believe, when you are sincere about the things of God, you can't help but to search. You can't help but to ask and to knock and to want to know. And Nicodemus wanted to know. And when he came to him and said, "Teacher, we know that you're a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him." So he wasn't buying the accusation that some of his own sect was saying, that he casts out devils by the prince of the devils, or that he's doing this by some evil means. Nicodemus believed that these eyes were being opened, that were born blind by God, that God was raising up the lame, and that God was bringing a good word to the poor, and that God was doing all these wonderful works. And so he had to know. And I think when that "I have to know" gets inside of all of us, that's when we're going to really find the answers. Because God's such a specific God. He likes it when we've got to know. He likes it when the hunger is intensified in us. He loves to be sought after, not because he's vain or egotistical, but because he is the Savior of the world. He is the one who made us, and we did not make ourselves. Praise the Lord. And he wants to be hungered for. He wants that heart that he made, that soul that he made, to be eternal. Amen. To long for him, because he knew that the only longing that would ever satisfy the soul that he created was his longing, was who he was and what he was, and the righteousness and the holiness of God. Amen. We were made to be holy. Mankind was made to be righteous. Mankind was made originally to live forever. Amen. We were made to be without sin and without tarnish of any kind. Praise God. And so why wouldn't we hunger and thirst when the one who made us passes by? It doesn't matter how dark you become. It doesn't matter how evil or wicked you become. If there's a sincere something inside of you, it's going to connect, because it is your life source. Amen. It is your origin. No matter what philosophy you believe, ideology you believe, what narrative of today's foolish thinking you want to believe, no matter how much the world has affected you, you came from God. Praise the Lord. You didn't come from some evolution that happened. Amen. We didn't ascend or descend from apes. A big bang didn't make us. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Praise God and all the host of them. Hallelujah. And your soul knows it, even if you don't. Amen. Even if between your ears you're too stupid to recognize the alarms going off in your own soul, God knows. Praise God. Your soul was made by God. And that is why we have such a profound response of either loving the light or hating the light. Praise God. Resisting the truth or accepting the truth. We're reading this conversation because Nicodemus is just wanting to know. And then Jesus gets right into it, because that's how he does sometimes. He'll just get right into the matter. Except the man be born again. So no movement of the 20th century or the 21st century has created the phrase born again. Jesus did. What would become a statement in the church. Later on in our present times, people talk about being a born again Christian. You know, you're a Christian, but then you get born again. You know, you're like really serious about this. Well, that's their interpretation. It's not the Lord's, because we know that what makes you a Christian, what was termed as a Christian in the first century, is the born-again experience. Amen. So you're not a Christian, then you get born again. Now you're a born-again Christian. You know, you're born again, and that makes you a Christian. Amen. And if we're born again, then it only makes sense that something has changed. And this is the change that he's talking about to Nicodemus. And he begins to teach him some things about himself. And these are things that Jesus said that will straighten out some things that people believe or want to believe about him. And he's here, and what I would like to point out to you is that as Moses, and we all know that Moses set up a serpent on a stick because the children of Israel were sinning in the wilderness, and God sent fiery serpents among them and destroyed a lot of them because they were fornicating and doing all sorts of evil things. And but then Moses, and you see that symbol on the back of ambulances, but the origin of that is all the way back to Moses, because when they would look, if they had done something wrong, if they could get within seeing distance of that brazen serpent on the stick, then the plague would be stayed and they would be healed and they wouldn't die. And that was what the Lord provided for the children of Israel during that time, and it was specific to what they were doing and what the Lord did. So there was an image there set up, not to be worshipped, but to be a reminder. And it was also something representing something yet to come, that there would be somebody that would be lifted up. And that's what Jesus is saying. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we know Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all unto me. Amen. Hallelujah. He's looking to draw all those hearts that want to know him. I'm just here to tell you today, if you've got a want to, if there's something inside of you that's hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you're in a good place. You're in a place he wants you to be. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Because he doesn't share his glory with closed doors. You have to have a want to. And I hope you have a want to today. Amen. I want to know him. Praise God. I want to follow him. I can lay down something that I think I believe about him if I find out it's wrong. I have no problem whatsoever because he's not trying to rob me of anything good. He's just trying to help me get to where I need to go. And if there's something that I believe about him that isn't right, I don't need it anyway. Isn't that right? He said the reason that he would be lifted up is that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The why, as far as he being lifted up, was so that those who would believe. Now, a lot of people want to believe about him pre-Calvary. But Calvary and the resurrection has already happened. And so he was lifted up so that whosoever believes on him should not perish, because he knew that there would be a gospel being preached to the believers that would cause them to be delivered from sin. But there are those in ignorance that are trying to believe on him based on what he said without doing anything that he said further. Well, he just said to believe, and I believe on him. So there's ignorance there. There's ignorance about a cross and the reason for it. There's ignorance about the burial and the reason for it. And there's the resurrection and the reason for it. But there's ignorance to it because people are reading scripture out of context. And they're reading it the way that they're being taught to read it. And the way that they're reading it is incorrect. I want to read this thing the way I need to read it. And he read this and said these words to Nicodemus that God so loved the world that whosoever believes on him should not perish, praise God, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, we live in a world today that don't understand the difference between condemn and condone. We're told that if we're true Christians, we'll be inclusive. That will love everybody. Now, this is being taught, but how they're teaching it is not correct. It's not biblical. It's not gospel. It's not godly. Jesus did not come to condemn the world, but he did not come to condone the evil of the world either. And we know that all the word says that he's come to condemn sin, Romans 8, in the flesh. So what did he come to do? Condemn the sin of the sinner. John 8 proves that. The woman caught in the act of adultery, what was the last words he said to her before she left? Go and sin no more. Neither has any man condemned you? No, man, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. But stop doing what you're doing. Yes. Amen. That's the gospel. The gospel will always say, stop it. Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The gospel will never say, oh, I love you and I know you're doing all sorts of immoral things, but you're included. No, that's not gospel teaching. Gospel is he so loved everybody. He so loved the world, right? If I be lifted up, I'll draw all unto me. But the all that he wants to draw, he has a word for the all. If he's drawing all unto himself, he's drawing all from something to something. And he's not saying, just fill your church with a bunch of stuff and just let it be, because love just loves everybody. Not the love of God. The love of God doesn't do what you say it's doing. And we're going to show that to you in Scripture real quick. So let me stop talking because I've been rattling for 10 straight minutes. And I just want to read some verses to you so that you don't think I'm making things up. We know this, but there are those who don't. And there's such a strong immoral movement today that is putting immorality on the stage and saying it's acceptable. And if you don't accept it, you have some phobic something about something, and you're wrong if you don't allow and you don't include and you don't accept. So let's read 1 John chapter 3. Hallelujah. So he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but he didn't come to condone the works of the world either. This is what he's come to do to the works of the world. Chapter 8, verse John, chapter 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Two verses of scripture that show you there's a difference between being a sinner and being born of God. Praise God. We've come out of darkness, right? First Peter, into his marvelous light. And that's why we're able to praise him, like Brother Tim was talking about. We're able to worship him, and we're able to love him and feel the presence of God and be strengthened by God and do all the things that we can do in this born-again experience, because we've come out of darkness into his marvelous light, and we're showing forth the praises of him who has done so by his cross. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But make no mistake, he is not here to condone the works of the devil. Turn with me now to Psalm 97. Great word of God. Now, this is a word that is for everybody. We'll never successfully continually grow any assembly, this church or anyone else that comes from this assembly, or any church around the world that's a real church. You don't grow by condoning. You don't grow by condemning either. You grow by preaching the gospel to every creature. Praise God. And letting the gospel bring people to a point of realizing that their lifestyle is condemning them. But Jesus wants to deliver them from their own self-condemnation. Praise God. Psalm 97. Hallelujah. Thank God for his word. Thank you, Jesus. We read here, verse 10, ye that love the Lord, what's it say? Hate evil. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Praise God. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Amen. You that love the Lord, what's he say? He didn't say condone evil. He said hate it. Now, he's not saying to hate the people, but hate the deeds of the people. You that love the Lord, hate evil. So when evil stands up and says, well, you're not a Christian because Jesus loves he loves me just like I am, that's where the education needs to kick in and say, no, he does not love you just like you are. God has loved you. Calvary is the love of God, the expression of the love of God. But his love says, I don't condone what you're doing. I love your soul in that I want to save your soul, but what you're doing is evil, and I hate what you're doing. Amen. He hates homosexuality. He hates lesbianism. He hates trans. He hates the deeds where people are doing all sorts of things, just like he hates adultery and fornication and lying and stealing and all sorts of ungodliness and sedition and murder. Praise the Lord. And covetousness. He hates all. Ye that love the Lord, now he's saying to you, if you love God, hate evil for yourself and for others. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 5. What disturbs me is when you listen to other people who are saying that they're preachers and they're being affected and swayed by this all-inclusive thing. You know, be inclusive, include everybody, love everybody, you know, and we're not Christians if we can't accept. Look, we love every homosexual, lesbian, trans, no matter what they are, liars, cantankerous people, murmurers, complainers. And all we could name the people, we can love them no matter who they are, no matter what they do. We can love people. Their lifestyles shouldn't stop us from loving them. But there's a difference in loving and condoning. Praise the Lord. Now, you may have a kid that, a parent may have a child that's sitting on death row for murder. Doesn't mean the parent doesn't love the kid anymore, but they definitely don't love what they did that put them there. Praise the Lord. And their love for their child doesn't condone what they do. It's just natural love for the child. That's my child. They're wrong, but that's my child. Praise God. Ephesians 5, the scripture says, verse 5. I keep wanting to go all the way back. Praise God. Let's do that. Let's just start in verse 1, because I'm going to read right up to the verse that I'm wanting, because it all just says some wonderful things here. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Amen? You were sometimes darkness, but you're not that anymore. Praise God. You're not that anymore. See, Jesus came to destroy those works, the works of the devil, the works of darkness, the works of sin. He came to condemn sin in the flesh and deal with that element that had passed upon all and brought death upon all. That's why he tasted death. Death was the penalty of sin. In the day that you sin, you shall surely die. He tasted death to overcome the death that he passed upon all as a penalty. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. And I dare say, for anyone that's trying to preach the gospel, be careful how you interpret the word of God, don't you? There shouldn't be sinners in your congregation feeling comfortable with their sin. Praise God. They shouldn't feel hatred and condemnation and or none of that, but the gospel preached and the atmosphere and the love and the worship should all make them feel exposed and uncomfortable with what they're doing. Amen. There shouldn't be comfortable sinners in a church house. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There should be heavy hearts. Amen. There should be uncomfortable feelings. There should be, I need to get up. I need to go to the, I need to go out and have a smoke or something. I need to get away from the atmosphere that is toying with my sinfulness and my darkness, because God don't like it. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's okay. Sinners need to feel God hates what they're doing. Glory unto the Lord. Glory unto God. They need to feel that Calvary came to destroy how they're living. Not condone how they're living, but to annihilate how they're living. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. We need to be careful that we do not get so affected by our life that we all of a sudden become inclusive. Amen. There needs to be that hatred that's still there for the wickedness of late, where they're saying that darkness is light and light is darkness, that it's right to accept everything and it's wrong to speak against it. But the gospel will always speak against it. It'll always, amen, cast down high things and those things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We'll always take a stand and say, your lifestyle is not of God. We love you, God loves you, but the love of God is saying, repent. Amen. The love of God is saying, come out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. The love of God is saying, before it's too late, before I destroy you, amen, get in this ship. Praise God. Get in this ship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll never accept the things people want him to accept today. There is no so-called Christian church that allows everything. Doesn't exist anywhere on the planet. The only true church is a church where a sinner can come amongst the saints and become guilty before God and want to hit an altar of prayer, praise God, with tears streaming down their face, no matter what they are, no matter what they've become, and reaching hands up to God, calling upon the name of the only begotten Son of God, saying, rescue me, save me, deliver me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen. Every Christian home needs to have that banner of love. Praise God. That banner of intolerance towards evil. Husband and wife together that are in the church should be a strong team, a oneness team. That says we stand for righteousness and holiness and godliness in all that is true, that we love the Lord and we hate evil. Don't ever let evil separate you. Don't ever let it cause you to bicker one at another. Don't ever let it destroy your home because it wants to. And we're living in a time where sin and evil and darkness are trying to spread themselves like a cancer that's out of control, where there seems to be no remedy. Well, we got a remedy. Yeah. Hallelujah. We got a balm in Gilead. Praise God. We got a great physician. There's not a wicked thing in the earth, amen, that can overtake the word of God and the salvation of God and the shed blood of Christ. Amen. It's greater. It's always going to be greater than every and any wickedness of the world. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. So let the word of God, amen, and let the things of God govern you as a person, your home, amen. You got to fight for what you have. We've already seen how the enemy, if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. Amen. If you give him your children, he'll teach your children that they can be anything that they want, and just don't tell mommy and daddy we're talking to you. Praise God. So we're reading here, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. He's saying walk as people who are free from sin. Hallelujah. You can be free from sin today. Hallelujah. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So if you're saying you're Spirit-filled and you're evil, you're not Spirit-filled. Because the fruit of the Spirit is in goodness and righteousness and truth. There is no lie that's of the truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And listen to verse 11. Remember what we read in Psalm. You that love the Lord, hate evil. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Praise God. Rather reprove them. Hallelujah. It's okay when sinful people, even if it's people that you know, your family, friends, workers, or just strangers. It's okay when they get among you that they feel reproved, even if nothing that you're saying is reproving at that moment. It's okay when somebody all of a sudden feels like they should stop cursing in your presence. It's okay if you're speaking to some young lady who's just a little bit too exposed, but they're in your presence now for whatever the conversation is, and all of a sudden they're kind of doing this. It's okay. That's a good thing. Because it means that there's something about you, amen, that is affecting something that's about them, amen. Light and darkness are having a conversation, even if the person doesn't even know it. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. He don't want us blending in. Praise God. We don't mix. Oil and water don't mix. There's some things you can put in a blender that they just won't mix. Praise God. Hallelujah. Right? You ever do the little kid thing like I did, not understanding, you know, the difference between Nestle Quick and baking powder, cocoa baking powder? You know, the cocoa powder? I just thought, it's chocolate. Grab my cup of milk, couple of tablespoons, jump that in, and it just floated. I didn't have any idea that that was for baking cakes and doing stuff like that. I just figured it's got to be like Nestle Quick. You know, you just put it in through. I'll never forget trying to mix that and mix it and mix it. You know, some people just don't get it. Boop, boop, boop. I said, why is this not mixing? It don't make any sense to me. It's powder. It's just like this. But it didn't matter how hard I tried. I mean, you could have gotten an electric mixer and just serious horsepower, and then when you take that thing out, all that cocoa powder would go bloop, and just float. Some things just don't mix. I finally got it, you know. But boy, that was I remember exactly where I was. And to this day in that little small kitchen in Charlestown. Remember what cupboard I got it out of, and remember trying to make it work. Some things just don't work. And trying to live for God and live for the devil don't work. Right? You said the other night, you can't serve two masters. Let not sin reign in your mortal body. It just doesn't mix. Praise God. And this is the word that we have, and this is what we face in this life. And so I'm bringing this up partly just to, because the world is really in a mess. Our nation's in a mess. It's just gotten messy. It's like parents turning the household over to a bunch of four-year-olds. And just no discipline, no direction, no governing. Just let them do whatever they want to do. And that's mayhem. And that's what's happening in our nation today. It's absolute mayhem. And you know, it's only too late that some people, and I'm not here to get political, but some people will kind of finally recognize that, oh, maybe we didn't do the right thing at the border. Yeah, you think? Whatever common sense do you think you didn't need to have, that if we just open the door and say that we're not going to have trouble, right? We don't open the door to our house and let everybody from the streets in. Well, because we have something we're trying to protect. Isn't that right? But then when it's done, the deed's done, and the damage is done, and then people say, oh, I guess we shouldn't have done that. There's just no helping stupid, as Pastor would say. So we're reading here today. I'll get off of that, but it's just crazy. That is what happens when you let the devil ride. When evil has its moment in the sun, it just takes over. You know, it's no longer there. The devil always has a bad intention. Yay, it's God said. Anytime he speaks, that's the time to plug your ears. Because he has nothing good, even if he's quoting scripture, he has nothing good to say other than it's going to be opposite of what God has said. And that's what he did. He lied. You won't die when you eat, but they did. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what reproved them. Praise God. So we live in a world today, in a time where evil seems to be parading itself. But make no mistake, the day of the wicked will come. And they can only parade themselves for so long. But they will not stand. In fact, the scripture says you'll consider their place and you won't be able to find it. But for us as people, we need to learn how to operate in this world, what type of attitude to have, how to be who you are, and how not to get caught up with all the narratives of our present time. We don't do things based upon the way the politicians want us to do it. The church doesn't operate based upon how the media wants us to do it. By what they want us to see versus not see, how they want to shape our thinking based upon little information instead of all of the information. We need to live in a world today as people of God where we're being shaped by the Word of God. We're being shaped by the love of God, by the goodness of God, amen, by the might of God, and do things the way He says to do it so that we don't fall prey to a lot of this foolish stuff. Amen. Why don't we just love Him? Hallelujah. I'm finishing up here. Let's just love Him. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. And in fact, let's break for a moment. Can we have a song, Sister Gloria, by the four of you? Give me that old-time religion. Let's just sing that for a moment, worship, and then I'll conclude. What we need is a good revival of people who are hungry for God. And the good part of what we're going through as a nation is that people are going to become so sick and tired of the garbage that they're just going to want something wholesome on their plate. Praise God. And we're going to reach for those people who finally become hungry enough to say, God, I just need you. Praise God. I just need your order. Amen. I need your holiness and your righteousness. Hallelujah. Oh, God, help us to have a prayer life and a walk with you in this present world that's greater than all of the afflictions and tribulation that's about us. Praise God. It's not so much about the external things that are out there that are just trying to tear down and destroy and aggravate. We need to focus on the fact that greater is He that is in me. My focus doesn't need to be their chaos. It needs to be my peace.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
I just need to walk with God. If I walk with God and I walk in the light, amen, and I walk as a child of the light, then the darkness cannot overtake me. It cannot overtake me. And my reaction to it will be a proper reaction instead of being absorbed into the fight to where I've now become kind of like them because I'm being aggravated by the gross darkness. Remember the scripture, Jesus fulfilled the scripture which said, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light, right? 1 John chapter 1, I believe verse 7, it says that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So if we say we serve God, God is light, in Him is no sin at all. There is no sin in Him. So how could He condone sin in His church? How could He just let everything in and say, it's okay, you can live the way that you want to live because I'm all-inclusive God? There is no rainbow banner over His head. There's no flag that flies that says He's inclusive to everybody and anything, you can come and worship me just like you are. So our reaction to it should be reversed in a way that the light that is in us compels the hungry that are in the darkness to come out of the darkness. Because if Jesus sat as a great light and He went about doing good, look at how He did it. He didn't go fight in the Roman Empire. He didn't go fight all the Greek philosophers. He didn't go and just get irritated by all the temples that they had to their idolatrous gods. And He was Himself. Somebody's going to be healed out of all this. Somebody's going to be converted. It doesn't matter what the world is doing. Somebody's going to receive the promise of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen. And speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you. Somebody, Brother Rick's going to be baptized in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
So our focus is not their focus. It's our focus.
Right.
Our focus is greater than their focus. Praise God. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
No, it's right. Amen. Their intention and their narratives are not greater than the narrative we have. That God is light, in Him is no darkness at all,
amen.
And that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself,
yes.
Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Amen. And has given us a word, a ministry of reconciliation. So I'm saying to us tonight, amen, and today that what we have in God is a reconciling ministry. That its motion, its force, its power is greater than that on the outside. So don't be affected in the wrong way by the outside. What we need to do, the answer for us is to just turn it up. Crank it, praise God. Get the prayer wheels turning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What do you do when everything goes wrong? Pray, pray, and you pray. Amen, that's the answer. Praise God. That will bring the revival. Amen. And finally, hallelujah. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit
Amen.
Of our God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Such were some of you. But now you're no longer those things. Hallelujah. 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 Let's love Him one more time here today. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.